You know, I want to introduce a couple people to you. I know many people have come today from different areas and distances, but one couple came all the way from Moline, Nick and Jackie. Yeah. Amen. And then we actually have a sister here all the way from Dublin, Ireland, and that's Yvonne. So Yvonne over there. Amen. Well, welcome to No Excuse Sunday. And I want to applaud you guys because you didn't make the excuse to not come. Amen. If you're going to make an excuse on No Excuse Sunday, you really don't want to come. Amen. Once upon a time, there was a church member who attended very regularly services.
Come on, bro.
And yet, as sometimes happens, they ceased to attend for a few weeks. So the minister decided to go over to their house. Minister went and knocked on the door. And when Pat Bouye came to the door, when the man came to the door, he opened it and immediately seeing the minister, he was convicted already. With little words said, they went and sat down, and being that it was a snowy Chicago night, they sat in front of a warm, blazing fire. Again, little words were said, and the tension was a little thick, until the minister reached forward and grabbed the tongs and grabbed an ember out of the fire. He then put it to the right, just out of reach of the fiery logs, and set it down. In a few moments, the ember began to fade in its power. Then just a soft glow, and then it just went out, dead as a doornail. After a few more moments, the minister grabbed the ember and put it back in the middle of the fire. It immediately caught fire and burned along with the rest of the logs. As the minister was leaving, the man simply said to him, "Thank you for coming over tonight, and thank you for your fiery sermon. I'll be at church on Sunday. Amen." You see, I believe with all my heart that when faithful men and women get around other faithful men and women, that a fire begins to burn. And yet, when we are separated and alone, no matter how strong we are, no matter how close to God we are, our enemy attacks us and beats us down, and our flame begins to die out.
Wow. Come on, bro.
That's why Jesus said we should seek first His kingdom. Yeah. The title of the message today is Light the Fire Within. Luke chapter 24.
Come on, bro. All right, bro. Appreciate it.
In Luke 24, verse 1, the Bible says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took some spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. My question to you today is, what made him forget? Wow. I can be a forgetful person. You know, I forget my keys, forget where I put them. But this is a pretty big fact right here. You with me?
Yeah, come on.
Jesus had said on many occasions, "I'm going to suffer." And he did. "I'm going to be crucified." And he was. And yet, on the third day, I'm going to raise from the dead. This is the third day. And yet we don't see people waiting like it's Christmas morning for that incredible present, do we?
Yeah.
You know, today's a pretty big day.
Come on.
In the eyes of many people, I would say Americans, but all over the world.
Yeah.
It's Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time believing there's any diehard New York Giants fan or any diehard New England Patriots fan. There's always a couple in the crowd, amen. Who forgot that today is Super Bowl Sunday? You think there's any diehard fans that woke up, forgot? So why did they forget? In fact, it's far beyond forgetting it's Super Bowl Sunday. Do you know how many parties are planned today? I mean, I asked Roger and Juan Carlos, who are you guys rooting for? The Patriots or the Giants? They said neither. We're rooting for the ribs and the steak. I mean, there are parties being planned today. As I think back over my favorite parties, my favorite were the chili cook-offs.
Yeah! I remember those. Those are awesome.
So, is anybody having chili at their party today? Because I haven't really committed anywhere. Amen. Okay, amen. Let me read you something I found. I found this from Bruce Cameron. It says, recently, I was selected to be a judge at a chili cook-off because the original person called in sick at the last minute and I was standing at the judge's table. I was assured by the other two judges, native Texans, as I am, that there wouldn't be that much trouble because the chili wouldn't be that spicy. So I accepted. Here are the scorecards from the event. I picked out a few of the chilies for you. Number one, Mike's Maniac Mobster Monster Chili.
Nice.
Judge number one, a little too heavy on tomato, amusing kick. Judge number two, nice, smooth tomato flavor, very mild. Frank, holy smokes! What is this stuff? You could remove dried paint from your driveway with it. I hope it's the worst one. These ticks are crazy. Chili number two. Arthur's Afterburner Chili. Judge number one. Smoky. Barbecue. With a hint of pork. Slight jalapeno tang. Judge number two. Exciting barbecue flavor. Needs more peppers, though, to be taken very seriously. Frank. Keep this out of the reach of children. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to taste besides pain. I had to wave two people off who tried to do the Heimlich maneuver on me. Chili number three. Fred's famous burn down the barn chili. Judge one, excellent firehouse chili. Great kick. Needs more beans. Judge two, a beanless chili, a bit salty, good use of red pepper. Frank, this has got to be a joke. Call the EPA, I've located a uranium spill. They have a few more like Bubba's Black Magic and Linda's Legal Lip Remover. But I'll read you this last one. Susan's Screaming Sensation Chili. Judge number one. A mediocre chili with too much reliance on canned peppers. Judge two. Ho-hum. Tastes as if the chef threw in canned chili peppers at the last moment. But I should note that I'm a little bit concerned about judge number three. He appears to be in a bit of distress. Frank, you could put a grenade in my mouth and pull the pin and I wouldn't feel it. I've lost sight in one eye. My clothes are covered with chili, which slid unnoticed out of my mouth at some point. Good. At least at the autopsy, they'll know what killed me. I've decided to stop breathing. It's too painful and I'm not getting any oxygen anyway. And if I need air, I'll just suck it in through the 4-inch hole in my stomach. I've been waiting for a reason to read that in a sermon for about 2 years. But here's my rationale.
All right.
People go to so much trouble just for a chili cook-off, just for a Super Bowl, to throw a party. Guys, this was the greatest day in all history. The day Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus Himself told Him it was going to happen. And on that morning, there was no party planned. What made them forget? Well, the women were carrying spices to the tomb. Yeah, that wasn't for the chili, you know. That was burial spices. They expected Him to still be dead and in the tomb. Let's read on. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Now, to the married brothers, there's a whole other class for a whole other day about why the women's words seems like nonsense. Amen? That we probably need to talk about. But I don't think it was just pride that day with the men. It was more than that. Okay, Jesus said He raised from the dead. Here, the women come and tell Him He did. It happened. And their response isn't, really? Their response isn't, I don't believe you. Their response is, nonsense. You guys see what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
How could they have drifted so far in their faith?
Wow.
Let's read on. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away proclaiming Jesus had risen from the dead. Okay. He went away wondering to himself, what happened? You with me?
Yeah. Wow.
Let's read on. Same day, two of them, I love these two guys, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So now, they're walking 7 miles away from where the action is supposed to be. Okay. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus Himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing Him. Very interesting, huh? I love this part. Jesus Himself comes up and starts walking, but for some reason, He doesn't let them know who He is. He asks them, what are you discussing together as you walk along the road? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked Him, are you just a visitor to Jerusalem? And you don't know the things that have happened here in these days? What things? Jesus asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet. See, I thought He was the Son of God. Isn't that what Peter said? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God? He was powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and the other rulers handed Him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified Him. But we had hoped He was the one who was going to redeem Israel. They had hoped. Wow. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. I don't know about you, but if it was the fourth day or the fifth day, then maybe I could understand what's going on. It was the third day. The day it was supposed to happen. And they'd already lost hope. In addition, some of our women amazed us. Amen. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. I believe there's the answer right there.
Come on, bro.
I believe the reason they forgot, and the reason we very often forget, is because we're so focused on what we see. What's our motto? Show me. If I see it, I'll believe it.
Yep.
What does God say? God says, you believe it, and baby, I'll show you.
Come on.
Now, I'm not going the other extreme and saying God wants blind faith. I do not believe He does. One of my favorite quotes is by a man named Elton Trueblood. He said, God does not want belief without proof, but trust without reservation.
Come on, bro.
For all of us that claim to be Christians in the room, let me talk to you for a second. We're supposed to have trust without reservation of our God. Not belief without proof. Now, many people, including myself, I grew up going to church. And I sit down to study the Bible with people, and I ask a question, a very simple question. Why do you believe Jesus rose from the dead?
Come on, bro. Talk about it.
And I'm amazed at the answers that I get. I'm amazed at my own answer. I really didn't have one. Well, because I do. Right? Because Mama told me he did.
Talk about it.
Come on, Chris.
That's just what I was told. But why? Can you give an answer for the faith you have?
Come on.
Otherwise, it's just, well, you can't tell me why. Okay, then why should I believe it?
Come on, bro.
I asked my 8-year-old daughter the same question at a little time with her the other day. I told some of you that last week. I said, honey, why do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? And she said, well, because I believe just about everything. Except that blendy pens are the only pens that blend, because I can make other pens blend. Isn't that precious? Out of the mouths of babes. And God knows children will believe just about anything someone they trust tells them. That's why God tells us, teach our children when they're young. Deuteronomy, as you walk along the road, as you sit at the house, write it on the door frames of your houses and your gates. We are to teach our children about God. But you know what? You can't teach something you don't know. And so many people make excuses as to why they haven't instructed their own children about God, because they don't have a deep faith themselves.
Come on, bro.
And when we don't have a deep faith ourselves, and all we do is ride on the coattails of other people's faith, when that dark night of the soul hits, we quit and we give up.
Come on, bro.
And we stop attending church. Because it really gets back to, what do I believe? We're not much different from these guys, are we? The super apostles. Yeah, they had a super lack of faith right here, didn't they?
Yeah,
I'm the same way. You're the same way. And so we believe very, very deeply. here in our church that we've got to be men and women of the Scriptures.
Amen.
We've got to know what God says and not just know what the preacher said growing up.
That's right.
We've got to know why we believe Jesus rose from the dead.
Come on.
So we're not just to tell our kids that He did. We're to teach them why we believe it.
Yeah, come on.
So why do you believe that on this third day these guys were acting all a fool? Why do you believe He rose from the dead? One of the most convincing proofs that I've ever been given extra-biblically is the historical proof of what happened to those very apostles that before He was crucified ran scared for their lives. As we read about them right here, they're not very faithful at all. But something happened on this day that changed them forever. That turned them in to the men that went to the ends of the earth proclaiming the resurrection of the dead. All of them died for that very fact. Except John, who was exiled for that very fact. And I ask people now that I study the Bible with, if you were one of these guys, right? You walked with Jesus for those years. You saw Him raise the dead. You saw the blind see. You saw the lame walk. But then on this day, your faith was revealed. If you never saw His face again, would you have gone to your death proclaiming the lie that He rose from the dead?
Talk about it, bro.
See, there's this logic, very good proof. I've never had one person tell me, oh yeah, if Jesus died and I never saw Him again, I would just go tell a lie that He rose. Now, I'll go this far. Maybe you're embarrassed. Maybe you want to save face. So, we don't want to look a fool. So let's go tell everybody, yes, He did raise and keep our dignity. I think that'll last as long as till the first time someone threw a rock at their head or flogged them severely, or at least before they were killed by the sword or crucified themselves, they said, okay, just joking. I admit it.
Talk about it.
How many of you would die for a lie?
Talk about it, bro. Come on.
But every one of these men did. All of the 11 went to their death proclaiming the resurrection of the dead. Now, if 9 of them would have and 2 would have bagged out, then it'd be a little tougher to believe. You know what I'm talking about? Every one of them. And so I asked my daughter, I said, let me tell you this, honey. What do you think changed those scaredy cats before Jesus was crucified into those brave lions that told the whole world He rose from the dead? And she said something that again was awesome. She said, well, Dad, it's because then they knew God would protect them. I thought, wow, I never thought of that in that way. I've always said, well, now they knew Jesus rose from the dead, so that displayed the power, so it's amen, proclaim it. But she said, no. God knew, they knew God would protect them. Jesus was crucified, but God protected him and rose him from the dead. So what made them brave? Because what can you do but kill them? And even if you kill them, God will raise them from the dead. Because they believed it. Today we really got to ask yourself, where is our faith? Those of us that claim that this is what we believe. I believe with all my heart, the reason we make excuses is because either it's something we just don't want to do, and so we make an excuse. Right? Or It's something we want to do, but we don't believe we can do it.
Come on, bro.
I believe people that want to follow God, because the people that don't want to follow God, that don't love God, we can't really do much. Except continue to love God ourselves and hope they see that fire and that love and that example and it causes them to think on their bed at night. But for those that do want to follow God and don't want to make excuses, Satan's going to get on your back. He's going to throw everything he can at you and try to steal your faith from you so that you will begin to make excuses for not obeying the Word of God. Mother Teresa, knowing that Jesus promised He would not tempt us beyond what we could bear. You know that, I guess, right?
Yep.
We're promised God will not tempt us beyond what we can bear. So why would we ever make an excuse? Unless we don't believe that. Well, Mother Teresa said, I know God will not tempt me beyond what I can handle. I just wish He didn't trust me so much. Do you wish that sometimes? Man. Truth is, in the middle of those times where we're being faithless, we don't think to ourselves, man, God trusts me too much here. Do we? What do? We forget about the words of God altogether. Kind of like these guys did. You with me? We see those obstacles. We see those problems. And you know what they are. I know what they are in my life. And you know what they are in your life. That cause us to forget the very words of God. And believe the problems exist are greater. And then we stop believing that they can change. Maybe it's in the marriages. Not that you've ever felt that before. You're married. You've never ever felt, I don't know if this will ever change. A problem in the marriage. See, I'm looking. Some of you are laughing at what I'm saying. And some of you are frowning at what I'm saying.
Come on, bro.
I mean, let's play that. There's not a marriage here that doesn't have trouble. Can we be honest about that? In fact, the divorce rate in the world, that's over 50%, so just flip a coin if you're going to stay together when you get married. That's what I've always loved about the kingdom, is divorce is rare. And I always tell the marrieds in the church, if we weren't Christians, you could flip a coin right now, half of us would be divorced. It's not that, oh, we become Christians and marriage is perfect. It's just as many troubles as in the world. But hopefully we handle it differently and we're devoted to never quit.
Come on, bro.
That's what we're lucky to have. But still, there are times you go, I just don't know if this will ever change. Now, the thing is, usually it's, I don't know if this will ever change in my spouse.
Talk about it, bro. Uh-oh, that ain't good. Lay it out, bro.
We know we're making progress when it's, God, please help this change in me. We know we're making great progress there. And I know I have a lot of progress left to make. Maybe it's in relationships with parents and children here today. Maybe it's just peers. Maybe relatives. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe it's financial troubles.
Yeah.
You know, one brother I love very dearly said to me this week, you know, if a bomb were to fall, it'd fall on my house. And it's a brother that has deep faith in God. So rather than not believing in God, he just believes God's doing this to me. There's something I'm supposed to learn. I don't know what it is. God's doing this to me.
Talk about it.
How do you handle the struggles?
Come on.
I'm going to share a time with you that I'm not too proud of, but I call it the Wegmans Epiphany. Some of you have heard it. Wegmans is a grocery store in upstate New York.
Hey, come on.
And, you know, as much as the snow falls here, oh, I hadn't seen anything like what I saw in upstate New York yet.
Yeah.
Campbell was telling me she saw one of the neighboring towns last week, Fulton. The snow fell so hard, the roof fell in the place they stored all the snow plows. And so they just told everybody, stay inside, because we can't get to the plows to plow anything. And it was snowing really hard one day, and Wegmans is a supermarket, and we were inside, Teresa and I, shopping, and we needed to get the stuff out to the car. So somehow we got separated, and I checked out, and I started walking toward the car. And you know those carts, when you're trying to push them through a few foot of snow?
Yeah, it's not easy, bro.
Yeah. And I'm pushing it, and I'm sweating, and I'm struggling, and I'm pushing, and I'm going, and I get all the way out to where the car was, and the car is gone! And I look back in my frustration and ungodly anger, and Teresa had got the car and pulled it all the way up to the door to put the stuff in.
That's a loving wife, bro.
And you know, for some reason, such a loving wife wasn't the first thing to come to mind. Now I got to push it back over there. So I start pushing, and in the middle of this time, I have my Wegmans epiphany.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, am I a man or a mouse? Am I a pathetic little wimpy mound of flesh that can't push a shopping cart through the snow? And I gathered up all my strength and I said, I can do this, and I pushed that thing through the snow. That's just wrong. Hey, how about if we do that this week when we face those troubles? Yeah, there are some obstacles. It's the fact. And Satan wants us to focus on the facts, the problems. What God wants us to do is to see the facts, but then bring it to God. And what can God not overcome? And to gather our strength and not lose our faith.
Come on.
Let's finish up by reading how Jesus handled these guys at this moment. Remember, they're telling him how Jesus isn't going to redeem Israel. There's no hope. There's no faith. You with me?
Yeah.
And in verse 25, Jesus said to them, "Oh, come here, my brothers, and give me a big hug. I know you guys really want to believe in me. I know you don't want to not believe. And so give me another hug." That's the HSV, the hugging sentimental version of the scripture. Right? Can we be honest? Isn't that the way we feel everyone should embrace us when we're faithless? Oh, give me a hug. What does Jesus do? Jesus says to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart." We got a new sound system. We still have works yet.
Amen.
"How slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" What does Jesus do? He rebukes them. This isn't a teaching, and it's not a correction. He says, "How foolish you are."
Yeah.
"How could you not believe this? How slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken." Jesus rebuked them. How do you act, brothers, sisters, when you talk to another Christian and they're being faithless? Are you willing to challenge them like Jesus did?
Wow, come on. Talk about it, Chris.
Listen, we need to love each other. We need to respect each other. And sometimes we need to rebuke each other. Because we're believing the world more than we're believing the Lord.
Come on, bro.
And we're not being faithful. And it needs to be in love, but we need to speak the truth in love sometimes. You say, well, that was Jesus. He could do that. No. This guy was a stranger on the road that they didn't recognize. So that excuse is gone right there.
Yeah, come on, bro.
Well, I can't do it. It's Jesus. No. Remember, these guys walked up. They don't know him. They start dumping out their lack of faith. And to them, a stranger lays them out. How would you take it?
Come on, bro. Good question.
What would your response be? Who in the world are you?
Yeah.
Man, we knew him. Get out of our face. Or would you be humble? No matter how spiritual you've been in your life, super apostle, I'm sure. But would you be humble when you're faithless?
Come on, bro.
And admit your weakness. What happens next? Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. You ever been in a fired up Bible talk?
Yeah, baby.
Like a really hot Bible study.
Like Carol Washington, baby.
Yeah. Amen. How would you like to be in a Jesus study? Because that's what this was. Studying about who Jesus was. Oh, an Old Testament Jesus study. Because the New Testament wasn't written yet. And how would you like to be in an Old Testament Jesus study that was led by Jesus on the day he rose from the dead? That would be a hot study to be in. And I'm sure it was fiery that day. Let's read on. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. Isn't that awesome? You know why he did that, right? Neither do I. But anyway, okay. For some reason, he acted as if he were going farther. So if there are any actors out there, amen.
Amen.
Jesus can relate to you too.
Amen.
But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening. Day's almost over. So he went in and stayed with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open. They recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. And people say the Bible's boring. Are you with me? That's because they haven't read it.
Yeah, come on.
Is this incredible? So why? What in the world? They're there. They're having dinner. Jesus then breaks the bread and gives it to them. And they go, wait a minute. I've seen that before. And I picture them, recognize him, and look at each other, and then looking back, and he's gone. And again, you say, why? I believe, my conviction is, he did not want their faith to be based on what they saw.
Amen. Come on, bro.
As soon as they recognize him, I'm out of here. My acting gig is over. I'll go somewhere else. And look at the very next words. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? The fire was lit inside of them. And what do they go back to? They go back to the scriptures. As he opened the scriptures and talked with us, our hearts were burning within us. Let me tell you something. That's a sign that you love God right there. Whatever troubles you have this week, I want to give you the challenge my wife gives all the time. What scripture is helping you with that.
Come on.
We're all going to face troubles, guys, as soon as we walk out the door. Probably over some of the details of your Super Bowl party. Amen. When we face those troubles, what scripture is helping us? Or have we forgotten the scriptures altogether at that point? If so, we need somebody that loves us to remind us of the scriptures.
Amen, bro.
And get us back in the scriptures.
Amen.
Their hearts were burning inside. That's my goal today. Is if you love God, I want to light your fire.
Come on, bro.
I want the word to inspire you so that Satan can't knock you down this week, but so that we can go out and get everyone else to forget the world and remember the words of God.
Come on.
I want to end by telling you a little story about perseverance. Hopefully it'll help you out to never quit and never let that fire burn out.
Come on, bro.
It's a very serious story. A duck walked into a bar.
Duck, bro.
Hey, I said this was serious. A duck walked into a bar, and he waddled up to the bartender, and he said, "Excuse me, sir, do you have any oranges?" In my story, a duck can talk, Richard. Would you leave me alone? I'm not done yet. Bartender looked right at the duck, and he said, "We don't serve ducks here. Be on your way."
Amen.
So the duck waddled out the door. But the next day, same duck waddled back in. Went up to the same bartender and said, "Excuse me, sir, do you have any oranges?" Bartender looked at the duck, pointed at a sign on the wall, said, "We don't serve ducks here." I told you yesterday, we don't serve ducks here. Now get out. Well, duck waddled out. Not too daunted. The very next day, same duck waddled back in. Went up to the bartender and said, "Excuse me, sir, do you serve oranges here?" Bartender said, "Listen, duck, I told you once, I told you twice, I told you three times, we don't serve ducks here. Now, if you come in here tomorrow and ask me for oranges, I'm going to take your little webbed feet and my hammer, and I'm going to nail you to the wall next to that sign." So the duck waddled out a little more discouraged than usual. But the next day, the same duck waddled right on in. Went right up to the bartender and said, "Excuse me, sir, do you have any nails?" Bartender said, "No, why?" Duck said, "Then do you have any oranges?" If you're our visitor today, all we want you to do is come back and study the Bible with us. Amen? If you're a Christian, never quit. God bless you.